Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You right now, at this very moment, are in the midst of a battle. And no, I'm not talking about a battle with some disease or infection. I'm not talking about a battle with a cancer. I'm not talking about the supposed war on drugs or the war on poverty or the war on terror. I'm not talking about battles in Ukraine or Afghanistan or any other part of the world. I'm not talking about a battle against a politician or a political party. I'm talking about the battle that you face every day against Satan and against his forces. As Scripture says in Ephesians chapter 6, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, over the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." There is a battle that each and every Christian is in the midst of, a battle against Satan. When a Christian is baptized, the devil targets that person and wants them back in his kingdom. When a person is transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light and is in God's kingdom, the devil is not satisfied to let that one go. He wants every person, no matter their status, no matter their time in Christ's church and in his kingdom, he wants every person to fall to his power. The person who is already in his kingdom, the atheist who doesn't even believe in Satan, or the agnostic, the person who doesn't want to come and receive God's forgiveness in his house. This person the devil doesn't really need to worry about unless they start hearing the Word of God, unless they start hearing the gospel. The devil is certainly concerned that every single person in this room and every single Christian gathered around Christ's gifts would fall to his power and would return to be back in his kingdom, which is where we were when we were born. Born separated from God and in the devil's kingdom, the kingdom of darkness. And so once you are brought into the kingdom of light, you are brought into a battle. A battle against Satan and his forces. And it's important that as we live in this battle, each and every day, that we recognize the temptations of Satan. For Satan doesn't just come to you as a little red man with horns and a pitchfork to try to deceive you. The devil, Scripture says, masquerades as an angel of light. He comes trying to deceive you, to make it sound as though his plan is good and it's good for you and it feels good. And he wants you to fall to it. And so he masquerades as an angel of light. So we have to be on our guard each and every day, every hour, every minute of every day, against the temptations of Satan and recognize where he is trying to deceive us. And today, in our Old Testament and our gospel reading, we get a little insight into how the devil tempts people. How he tempted Adam and Eve in the past, and also how he tempted Jesus. And we see what we need to be on the lookout for. Football teams will watch video of their opponents and see what they do, see how they perform, how they play, how they act. And we as Christians have to be aware of the way our enemy acts, because he is far more dangerous than anything else in this world, more dangerous than anything else that you might fear that's going on right now, any other political power, even more dangerous than nuclear weapons. The devil is one whom we must watch, look out for, and recognize his temptations. So let's start by looking at his temptation in the Garden of Eden, when he tempted Adam and Eve. You'll notice that he came there to Eve. And first, he brings up to her what God had said, but he twists what God said. And asks her if God said that they couldn't eat from any tree of the garden. He first starts by making God out to be somebody who wants to keep all good things from his people. And of course, this was a lie. This wasn't true. God had only kept them from one tree, not all the trees. And Eve recognizes this and corrects the devil. But the devil doesn't stop there. When she points out what God's word had said, when God said that in the day that they ate of that one tree, they would die, the devil flatly contradicts God's word and tells her that you won't die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. We see in this interaction with Eve that the devil tries to tempt us to believe that God doesn't love us, he doesn't take care of us, and he isn't to be trusted. He's not going to give you good things, the devil makes it sound. The devil makes it sound as though God doesn't love you, and as though he's actually trying to keep things from you. That if you just would do the thing that God says you shouldn't do, it actually would be better for you. You'll be like God, knowing all things. And so Eve takes and she listens. She believes the word of the devil, that what God has not given her is actually good for her, that God is not to be trusted, that he's not to be listened to, and that we should take, in fact, what God has kept from us. But this isn't the only temptation of the devil that we see in Scripture. When we look at our gospel reading for today, we see the devil tempting Jesus, giving him three temptations. The first temptation is when the devil comes and tells Jesus that he should, if he is truly the Son of God, that he should take these stones and make them become loaves of bread. Now, what's so bad about turning some stone into bread, especially after Jesus has been hungry for 40 days? And certainly he is the Son of God, and he has the power to turn these stones into loaves of bread after he's been fasting for 40 days. Well, Jesus is not out here to serve himself. His mission in this world is not to use his power for his own enjoyment. He is out here as a man living completely dependent on the word of his heavenly Father, even here as he fasts for 40 days and 40 nights. And this can be seen from his response. He quotes the word of God from the book of Deuteronomy, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." What does this teach us about the temptations that we face today? The devil will try to convince you to work for the food that perishes. He will tell you that your job is more important than your Lord. The devil will tell you that it's more important to please your boss or your coach or your client or your customer than it is to please him. The devil will tell you that by your paycheck can feed you better than your Lord and better than your Lord can feed you in word and sacrament. The devil will tell you that you shouldn't try to please the Lord. You should try to please and serve yourself. But man does not live by money or bread or vacations or boats or popularity, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Don't be deceived when the devil tries to tell you that whatever else you have to do every day is more important than what our Lord gives you in his word and gives you in his supper. But yet there are more temptations. We've seen the devil try to twist and to deny the word of God, try to make Jesus serve himself and think that this bread that perishes, the food of this world, is more important than the word of God. We've seen the devil try to tell us that God doesn't love us and won't take care of us. But yet there are more temptations. Our text points out that The devil also took Jesus to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.'" Now in this second temptation of Jesus, the devil actually quotes Scripture. The devil quotes the promises of God and tells Jesus to test God. And once again, tells him to prove that he is the Son of God. But again, the devil doesn't need to prove to Satan that he is the Son of God. Nor does he need to prove the faithfulness of God to the devil. So what does Jesus say in response? Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, 'You shall not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Jesus trusts the promises of God without a test, without this proof. He knows that the Heavenly Father will provide for him and take care of him, even as he faithfully lives out his mission of living the perfect life in our place and dying in our place on the cross. And so what do we learn from this about the devil's temptations? The devil wants you to doubt God's promises in the face of your most difficult times. He wants you to doubt God's faithfulness by telling God to act right now according to your own plan, to give you the results now that you want in your way. The devil wants you to believe that any suffering in your life reveals a lack of God's love. Because God was faithful there on the cross and in the resurrection, you don't need to look for a special sign. You don't need to put the Lord your God to the test. You don't need a special feeling. You don't need a miracle or a vision or any other mystical experience. You need to go back again and again to the cross, where God did prove himself faithful, even in the midst of suffering, for you and for your salvation. But our enemies' temptations don't end there. We've already seen that the devil wants us to doubt God's love and care for us, to believe that God isn't to be trusted, to believe that he won't take care of us and we need to provide bread for ourselves on our own without God's help, and to believe that we need to test God and we need God to give us what we want and show us miracles and signs and wonders right now. But the devil continues. He tests Jesus one last time here in this place in the wilderness. We hear, "The devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, 'To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours.'" The devil makes a tempting offer. He offers authority and glory to Jesus right now. But what kind of authority and glory is given by the devil? The devil never tells you the fine print, just like he never told them the fine print in the Garden of Eden. The devil is truly in the details. Back with Adam and Eve, he told them half-truths, saying that they would be like God, knowing good and evil if they ate the fruit. He promises them some higher level of existence, as he also seems to promise to Jesus here, something better, something good that he can give. And the only authority and glory that the devil now tries to tempt Jesus with would be terrible in the end. For it's an authority and a glory that passes away and that will perish. And that will be an authority and a glory lived in contempt of God and opposition to God. Because along with it goes the worship of the devil. Jesus responds to this temptation by quoting Deuteronomy, saying, "It is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" The Lord is our God, and he is our authority above all other authorities. He is the one who authorizes and bestows authority. We are to submit to his authority above all. Serve him as God above all other things. Whatever benefit we think might be gained from the world by following the world's way of doing things above God, it isn't worth it. The world, deceived by the devil, will tell you that you can have the favor of the world, you can have power in the world, you can have position if you do what the world says and ignore Scripture. In other words, if you bow down to the devil and follow him, the world will tell you that you can have good things right now. But this is a lie. That glory and that authority is passing away. And our Lord Jesus Christ is the one who has won the victory on the cross and in the end will have the victory over all things. So what do we learn from all this as we face this battle today against the devil? First, the devil is a liar who twists the word of God, who tells you half-truths, who flatly contradicts the word of God and tries to tell you that God doesn't love you, he doesn't take care of you, he isn't to be trusted. He will tell you that you should not fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Second, the devil wants to entice you with the things of this world. He wants to make them so appealing that you run after them. We saw this in the way that the devil described the forbidden fruit in the garden, and also in the temptation of Jesus, where he showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world in their glory and offered them to Jesus. Third, the devil wants you to look for glory rather than for suffering. He wants you to try God, test him, test his power. He wants you only to believe in God if God acts according to your plan. If God gives you a sign or a miracle now, if he ends your suffering now. The devil who deceived Adam and Eve wants you to not trust God. He wants you to be enticed by this world, and he wants you to test God and only believe God on your terms, really on his terms. The devil who deceived Adam and Eve is still around today, trying to devour you and make you fall into temptation. This is the real battle that you face. He is more dangerous than the loss of your job. He is more dangerous than war on this continent in our country. He is more dangerous than nuclear weapons. To fall to his enticement and temptations means eternal death forever. Not just discomfort now, not just death now, but death and suffering forever in eternity. And there is only one who has resisted all the temptations of the devil. Every single one, and that is Jesus Christ. And he didn't give in to these temptations, but met them and met the devil head on. Not to show off his own power, but for you and for your salvation. To deliver you, to rescue you, to make you his own, to live the perfect life in your place so that you could be redeemed and that you could be his own. As we sang in our hymn here before the sermon, he stands by our side upon the plain with his good gifts and spirit. He is the one fighting for us and who already won the victory in this war on the cross. This war has been won against the devil. Jesus defeated him on the cross. But the battle still rages right now in the life of each and every Christian who faces the devil's temptations. Do not give in to them and join the losing side. Do not give in to them and follow the enticements of the devil. But come here today and confess your sin where you have given in to those temptations and receive the one who has won the victory for you. He wants to deliver you and rescue you. He wants you to be his own forever. He wants you to live as his child now, his disciple, his follower, his child whom he loves and cares for. Forever in eternity. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.